You don't need to justify your love. You don't need to explain your love. You just need to practice your love. Practice creates the master. Iman, how about you? That quote is from Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Mastery of Love, A Practical Guide to the Art of Relationship. In his book, Don Miguel illuminates the illusion of a fear-based belief system that undermines our ability to live in love. Miguel embodies and shares this ancient Toltec tradition, which originated in Mexico. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Don Miguel, welcome.
Well, thank you very much to invite me to your program. It's a pleasure for me to be with you.
Great. Now, although you were raised by a healer mother and shaman grandfather, you took a rather circuitous... I'm going to have to start over. Okay. Although you were raised by a healer mother and shaman grandfather, you took a rather circuitous route into the Toltec teachings. How did that come about?
Oh, well, I grew up in the middle of miracles. You know, being Mother Sarita's son, it was wonderful for me. When I grew up, I see a lot of people going to my mother for healing. Then for me to witness miracles, it was something that happened almost every day. And when I grew up, I decided to be a healer. I became a medical doctor. I went into science for a time. And after several years of being a surgeon, I decided to return to my roots, which is the Toltec knowledge.
Was there a certain turning point for you?
Yes. We can say that in that time, everything in me was focused into science. And I always been very, very skeptical. Then what happened is that one night when I was in the medical school, we have a party in Cuernavaca, that is a city that is very close to Mexico. And I make the mistake that many people do also. And I drink a lot of wine. And I pass out in the wheel. It was have an accident. But what is incredible in that accident is that I was out of my body, out of my physical body. I see my physical body sleeping in the wheel. I protect the people who was with me. I take them out of the car. It's like at the time goes so slow that it was kind of incredible. And of course that changed everything in my mind. What I used to believe that was real, it was no longer real. And I started searching for answers.
How do you think it was different for you growing up in the Toltec tradition of the 20th century? Do you think it was much different from those that lived that centuries ago?
Well, for the modalities of times, yes, it's very different. You know, like 2,000 years ago, there used to be a lot of superstition in that time. And the knowledge was only for very few. They're the ones who used to go all the way until the total freedom. What's happened right now is that it's so available for everybody. Because what we discover is that all that knowledge is just pure common sense.
Yes. Definitely true.
Yes.
Well, I know in one of your books, The Four Agreements, that seems to be the beginning of all of this common sense, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You know, my challenge when I read the first book, it was to clean all the Toltec knowledge from all superstition and mythology and only keep what I call the gold, which is common sense. When I use the common sense, everything becomes so simple that anybody can play with this book. And it helps so many people. Like right now, it's in 28 different languages, the four agreements, and Master Love is in 26 different languages. That is, it means that it's go all around the world, and the people are so ready to receive this knowledge, to return to the common sense.
That's definitely true. I'm glad it's in so many languages. In the introduction to your book, The Mastery of Love, you liken our Earth to a mental hospital. And I'm afraid you're right.
Well, definitely this is true, because what we see with all that fear that people play with, they're just like a mental hospital, really. You know, everybody make all those choices based on fear. When if we just look at what we do and we return to that common sense, we discover that life is so simple. You know, everything is about choices. It's about agreement. And everybody living their own mind. Then what it means is that there's not absolutely truth or wrong or wrong.
You just mentioned about fear, and with all the emotional poison that stems from fear, where does the fear come from? What is at the base of fear?
Well, we can say that fear is completely normal. You know, it's part of our nature. But what is not part of the nature is when fear becomes so intense that we lose control. You know, fear is part of our survival instinct, which is completely normal. But it's only normal when we are facing it, not afterwards. And fear becomes so strong that almost everything that we do is based on that fear. If we just control that fear, life becomes so easy.
Now, part of living in this fear all the time, you see people incorporating a huge system of denial. Is it basically denial of living in this fear, or how does it move out from there?
Well, we can say that denial is because we don't want to see what is real, what is truth. We create a little world of illusion that we want that illusion becomes real and truth for us. You know, because that denial, we make a lot of assumptions and we take everything so personal that life becomes so difficult for everybody.
That's quite a hook, and I know that's one of the four agreements, is to not take things personally.
And not to make assumptions either.
Right.
Because when we make an assumption, we create a whole dream that is not based in reality. Instead of ask, we make the assumption, we create a whole drama in our mind just to discover later that it was not real, it was not true.
Now, I know in the Toltec tradition, you talk about domestication. And what are the evils of domestication and what are the ways out?
Okay, first of all, we cannot avoid the domestication. It's been in this world for so long that this is what we learn. Our parents only can teach us what they know. But anyway, if we live with awareness, sooner or later we will discover that all that programming in our mind, and when we do that, something incredible happens. We no longer believe all those lies that we inherited from long, long time, and that guide us into our personal freedom. One of the rules that I give to my apprentices is not to believe themselves, not to believe me, and not to believe anybody else. But it doesn't mean that we close the mind. No, we open the mind. We learn to listen, and then we can make choices.
I know in that process of domestication, we really
close off a lot of avenues, and we close off our free thought, actually, in deciding what is real for us. How, I know you have a son, at least one son anyway, and how was it for you in raising that son? How did you sort of ward off the domestication?
Okay, I have three sons, and to be a parent and to guide them, it's been a great experience. You know, unfortunately, my three children are very good kids. Well, they are already grown up. But what is very interesting is that they embrace my teachings. And the middle one is the one who is becoming an awala also. And I don't see hardly any resistance in them. You know, growing up without that much domestication, that really helped them to develop themselves in life and create all those goals that for sure they will reach sooner or later. Then in the middle one is, he have a lot of personal power, and there's a lot of people that start following him now. It's a pleasure to see how they grow up.
Yes, I agree. I have three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So explain what you mean when you say that everyone around the world is hunting the attention of others.
Well, this is also completely natural. When we grow up, we are trying to hook the attention of our parents, the attention of the teachers, the attention of our friends. We live in a world where we are the center of the universe, which is completely normal, because this is the only point of view that we have. Now, by hooking the attention, we exchange information, we teach, and we learn. This is the way that we communicate with each other. But many times, to hook other people's attention, it creates a dependency also and take away our freedom until a certain point, of course. Then when we have that awareness and we learn to listen and we explain our mind, the interaction between humans becomes so easy. You know, I don't believe that we need to have those kind of conflicts in order to understand each other. Like in the Master of Love, one of the things that we say is that life is so simple, and the key is to learn how to love. Even that love is completely natural. But in the process of domestication, we learn how to put obstacles in the expression of love, that at a certain point we are so afraid to love and to be loved.
The main point that seems to come out of that is obvious. If you don't love yourself, then you really don't know how to love anyone else.
Well, this is true, because when we don't love ourselves, our expression of what we call love becomes so egocentric. Is everything about me, and we don't even care about other people's feelings, other people's emotions.
In the Toltec tradition, you use the analogy of the parasite.
Yes. Well, we can say that in our mind, we have that inner dialogue that is talking to us all the time. And in that dialogue, most of the time is acting as a judge or acting as a victim. Then if we just stop for a moment and we ask to ourselves, well, if I'm talking, who is listening? Then we can find out that what is talking in our mind is really the program. is nothing but knowledge that have its own voice. And that knowledge is completely distorted. And the way we use that knowledge is against ourselves, which means that we are not impeccable with our words, with ourselves. Once that we have this awareness and we listen that voice in our head that we call thinking, we discover that that thinking is just like a wild horse out of control and takes us wherever you want to go. And we hardly have any control of the way that we judge ourselves. With awareness, it's easy to have that peace in our mind that we no longer use the judge against ourselves.
It seems a big tool of the parasite is the image of perfection.
Oh, definitely, yes. You know, when we're children, we work so hard to try to please other people's points of view. And we are always looking for people who tell us how good we are. We are looking for a reward. Then when we act in that way, we lose, until a certain point, the power of our own choices, and we depend on other people's points of view in order for us to live our life. For example, we can ask somebody else how we look like, if what we are doing is okay, if we are not making mistakes.
I think it might be a good time right now, Miguel, to share the story of the magical kitchen.
Oh, this is a beautiful story.
I love this story.
Yes. Well, we can say that our heart is just like a magical kitchen. We can imagine, for example, that if someone knocking at our door and bring a pizza to us, when we have the magical kitchen, we don't need that pizza. Mm-hmm. We can say that love is in that way. When we have that love, we don't need that anybody really love us. Just like when someone offers you a pizza and you're starving, you can do whatever to obtain that pizza, to eat it, to enjoy it. But let's see that if that person who is offering you that pizza is asking you to pay in something in return, to say, I give you that pizza if you let me control your life. If you're starving, we will say, okay, yes, give me the pizza and control my life. Just tell me what should I do and I'll do it for you. But on the other hand, if we are not hungry and someone offers you a pizza, you will laugh and say, well, I don't need your pizza. I can create my own pizza. I can give you without asking you for anything, and everything is good. But if we change, instead of pizza, we're talking about love. If someone offers you love, if you let them controls you, you lose completely your freedom. But if you let them know that you don't need that love, that you create so much love, not just for yourself, but for everybody, you discover that nobody has that power over you. And with that interaction that you have, it's like you are in complete control of everything that you do. And you can give your love unconditionally. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. So when people are in relationship with their mate,
yes,
where do you see people start sliding off?
Okay. When they begin the relationship, usually men and women, they present an image of themselves that they are not them. They pretend to be what they are not. And that projection is perceived by the other one. And the other one is doing exactly the same thing. Then after a certain time of being together, we discover that that person that we choose is not exactly what that person is pretending. But the other person also perceives that we are not what we pretend to be. When that happens, then we can see that we are completely responsible for our happiness, and our happiness will not be depending on what the other person believes on about us. When we recover this awareness, now we know that we cannot make happy anybody, really, because whoever you're related with, that person is responsible for their own happiness, as you are responsible for your own happiness. That in that moment, you find out that the promises that they give to each other are not even real. And without the promises, the relationship that they have is more complete, that they are not dependent from each other in order to reach happiness. But on the other hand, when one of the person of the couple have a problem and they start going down, the happiness of the other person will help to bring it up and to recover that joy and that happiness.
So if we start assuming we need to be responsible for someone else's happiness, it goes downhill from there.
Yes, definitely. And like we say in the beginning, it's just a return to common sense. You know, it's so easy to see those kind of relationships, and it's easy to see when you can be happy with someone or you cannot be happy with someone.
And the truth is, I think when we start lying in the relationship, it's a fear that's coming out.
Well, when we start lying in a relationship, what is important is that the other person know that you are lying. That person can trust you or not trust you knowing that you are lying. Can accept you or not. Mm-hmm. Many times we lie because we are so afraid to be judged. We are afraid of the judgment of our couple. And it's the fear who leads us in that direction.
When you talk about the track of love and the track of fear, is there any intersection of the two?
Well, to create those two tracks is a metaphor that we have the awareness where we are. It's not exactly a complete truth. You know, I give the characteristics of love when you're in the track of love and the characteristics of fear. But in reality, we can see that we can go from one track to the other, and we recover awareness, and we return to the other one. It's not that we live 100% in one of those tracks, but we have the tendency to live in the track of love the most as possible.
I know in the Toltec tradition, mastery of the dream is essentially it. Is that true? And how do you go about that?
Well, you know, this is very interesting because one of the things that we discover is that everything is a dream. We dream when we are awake and we dream when we are sleeping also. And what we perceive is just our point of view. And that point of view is only true for us, but not necessarily true for anybody else. When we discover that we live in a dream, we also discover that we are the artist who is modifying that dream. And this is something so beautiful, because once that you discover that you're the creator of the dream, now you're in the possibility to create your life as a piece of art. And knowing that everything is just your projection, is your point of view, and when you discover that, you don't need to impose your point of view to other people, but you can exchange those points of view and see how the other artists create their dream. Then that becomes something so beautiful when you master the dream.
In Mastering the Dream, you talk about dreamers and stalkers.
Mm-hmm. Well, mainly we can say that every human is a dreamer. There's only dreamers. What I call stalkers is for the people who don't know that life is a dream, and they see reality as something completely real, which is another way to face life also. Then a stalker, we can say that is that dreamer that can swear that reality is completely real and base all those decisions based in that reality until they discover that they are dreaming also. For example, if we imagine that we are artists and we create all those beautiful paints, and for whatever reason, we meet a master like a Picasso, like Leonardo da Vinci, or any of them, we see that what they express in their paints is the way how they see the world. Like if Picasso make a portrait of you, when you see your portrait that come from Picasso, immediately you will say, okay, this is not me. But Picasso will say, yes, this is you. This is how I see you. And it's the same with every human. We perceive the whole universe, the whole world, but we make that interpretation. We make a story about everything that we perceive, and that is what makes life so wonderful.
Yes, and I think that's what makes visual art so wonderful, because it's so benign in a sense.
Yes.
Even if someone looks at their portrait from an artist and says, well, that isn't me, it isn't something that seems to really attack them, whereas words, for instance, can feel that way.
Yes, and this is how the artist sees you. Then every artist, every dreamer, sees you in a completely different way.
Just plain lovely. Don Miguel Ruiz, The Mastery of Love, A Practical Guide to the Art of Relationship. Don Miguel will join us next week to conclude the discussion. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting, iTunes at Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.